Hi, my name is Sophie Pritikin. I'm 17 years old, and today is March 4th, 2019, and I'm interviewing my grandma in my house in Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, my name is Anne Saul, and I am Sophie's grandmother.
Okay, so to start off the interview, I just wanted to ask you, where were you born?
I was born in Siberia, in the European side of Siberia, the European side meaning the Ural Mountains divided Siberia into the Asiatic side and the European side.
So why were you born in Syria? What were the circumstances
in
there?
In Siberia. Yes. My parents escaped Poland after the Nazis invaded Poland on September 1st, 1939, and they ended up in Siberia in 1940.
So how did they get there?
They escaped actually by foot. My parents saw the writing on the wall, and they didn't want to stay in Poland, so they escaped by foot going east. They walked east. And then they were caught by Russian soldiers. And the reason why they were sent to Siberia is because they wouldn't sign an affidavit that they would become Russian citizens or Soviet citizens. So all those who did not sign that affidavit were sent to Siberia. And they ended up in a forced labor camp.
And do you know the name of that camp?
I do not know the name, but it was in the town of Magnitogorsk.
And before we talk about the camp, I just wanted to know, what were the conditions in Poland that forced them to leave?
Well, the war was starting, and they knew that it wouldn't be a good idea for them to stay, because they kind of knew Poland at the time was very anti-Semitic, and they felt that they weren't in a good position to stay.
Do you know if there were any like specific examples of anti-Semitism that?
Well, one of them is my mother. Well, this was even before she was married. My mother could not get into the university because she was Jewish. So she was sent, her parents helped her, her brother helped her, and after she graduated from the gymnasium, which is like a college prep school, she was sent to France, to the university there where she got her degree in France. So in the 1930s, she was a student in France.
And what was she studying in?
She was studying bacteriology, and she wanted to go into medical research.
But she couldn't because she had to flee.
Well, she got her degree, and then she went on to Paris, and she stayed about a year or two at the Pasteur Institute in Paris, and then she had to go home. Her parents asked her to come home. I don't know why she went back, but they asked her to come home, and she did. And after that, of course, she couldn't leave the country again.
Then
the war broke out. By that time, she met my father, and she got married.
Mm-hmm. And so then after they got back to Poland, they had to flee the country because of the war.
Yeah, because of the war, she fled the country, and that's what saved their lives.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So if they stayed in Poland, then
they would have probably been sent to concentration camps. Yeah, because my grandparents died in the ghetto.
So they stayed in Poland?
They couldn't flee. They were, my grandmother was not a well woman, and they told my mother and her brother to run, to go, and they couldn't go with them.
So that was the last time that she saw
them? That was the last time they saw them. Mm-hmm.
And then when did she receive news that they had died in the ghetto?
I don't think she found out till after the war.
Till after the war. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then going back to, so now she's in Siberia, and they were in a labor camp.
They were in a labor camp, and my mother had a, my father installed electricity. He was an electrician, and they were building, I don't know if they were large buildings, they were building, and my mother had to, my mother was forced to be a bricklayer, and that's, she never worked like that in her whole life, and she was forced to be a bricklayer.
So how did she have to adjust to that job?
That I don't know. I know it was very hard work, and she did what she was told to do.
Mm-hmm. Because if she didn't, they would have.
If they didn't work, they wouldn't eat. And whatever it was very meager. I mean, they got dry bread, and they ate potatoes, and there were a lot of potatoes, I think, they ate. My mother made some watery soup out of potatoes. And in the wintertime, I know my mother told me that they went out into the fields, and she dug for frozen potatoes, and that's how she made her meals.
And that's how she survived.
And that's how they survived.
So they, that was the only thing that they were fed?
That I don't know. There was very little meat, very little protein. And they were starving all the time. And also they were very cold all the time because the winters were quite severe.
Yeah, because it was in Siberia. So the
It was even colder than here, so it was very severe.
Mm-hmm. How did they deal with these circumstances? Did they have any beliefs or motivation that encouraged them to?
I was born there. I was born there, and the motivation, I think, was to, they wanted to survive. They wanted their child to survive, so they had to survive, you know.
Did she have to make any sacrifices in the camp to raise you when you were?
She escaped with very little, but I remember my mother telling me this funny story. I don't know if it's funny or not. When she graduated the university, she was given by her parents a pen, a gold nib pen, and she cherished it. And after I was born, she needed medication for me because I developed pneumonia, and she needed some medicine for me, so she traded that pen for medicine. Years and years later, I said to my mother, I will, you know, because she always told me the story, so I said to my mother, I will buy you a new pen. And she said to me, you know, my child, things aren't important. It's you who was important.
So because she sold that pen,
I lived, yeah.
If you didn't have access to that medication,
I probably would have. I really don't know.
Wow. That's really interesting. And so your mother was a bricklayer and your father was an electrician.
You're right.
Yeah. And were there other people at the camp too?
There were many other people in the same boat as they were. Mm-hmm. And they tried to help each other. The problem too in Russia, they had a secret police in Russia, in Siberia, I should say, all over the Soviet Union. So you really had to watch what you said, because people always eavesdropped. If you said anything negative about the government, the secret police would come around, and some of them were arrested and sent and put into prisons because of that, because they had negative things to say about the government. Yeah.
Do you know?
So you had to be very careful. Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you know any like people specifically that?
Yes, I do. Well, I don't know. My mother told me later on. My father had an older brother who was put in prison because he did say something, and he died in prison.
Wow. So mm-hmm. He said something against the...
Against the government. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of jobs did other people in the camp have to...
I think, I really don't know, because at that time, the city was, they were... Right now, I think it's an industrial city, and it's the most polluted city in Russia. But at that time, they were, I don't know, they were just building a lot of buildings, and I don't know if there were housing to send people there. I really don't know. I've never gone back. It'd be interesting if I do go back to see what it's like.
If it's still...
Well, it exists,
it's
yeah.
It's still there.
Yes, yes.
So, what was life like for you in the camp? Do you have any experiences that you remember
I don't remember, because when we left, I was very little. So, all I remember is the vast snows. And and the other thing I remember is my mother bartered for these boots, and they kept me really warm. I remember those boots. That's all I remember about Siberia.
So that's your one memory from...
Yeah, because I was very young, and I don't remember a lot about it, yeah.
So did you remember when the war was over and how that was announced?
I didn't know. I was a child. What did I know about the war? But I do remember that in 1945, they fled Siberia on a train. A lot of people were leaving. Evidently, they must have heard the wars were over and they wanted to go back to their countries, wherever they came from, to see if they had any surviving relatives left. Mm-hmm. And that's when my parents left too.
So the government allowed them to leave the camp, or they had to flee the camp?
I think because they weren't Russian citizens or Soviet citizens, they were allowed to leave.
Okay. So how long did it take them to return back to Poland?
Oh, I don't know. I know they went from all through Eastern Europe till they got back to Poland. And I remember traveling by train to various cities. I don't know exactly what cities they were until they finally landed or arrived to their city, which was Lodz, Poland, which is the second largest city, I believe, in Poland right now.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
Second to Warsaw?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
That's interesting. So what did your family find when you returned to Poland?
Okay, what my my parents found that there was nobody left, that she made inquiries about her parents and some of her friends, and my father's family was all there, and there was just nobody left. My father had one surviving brother, a younger brother who did survive, and that was about it.
That was the only person that had survived?
He survived, and also my uncle, my mother's brother, survived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they reunited later on in Germany. Mm-hmm.
So from Poland they traveled?
They didn't stay in Poland because my parents felt that there's nothing left there mm-hmm. for them. So they left Poland, and they heard that there were these camps for refugees, these DP camps for refugees, and they decided to leave. And they ended up in a Jewish refugee camp.
Okay, so what does DP stand for?
DP stand for displaced persons mm-hmm. who had no homes anymore.
So that was in Germany?
Yeah, they had camps in Germany. Yeah, that time in 19 after the war, Germany was divided into three zones. It was the Russian zone, an English zone, and the American zone. And my parents went to the American zone.
Because mm-hmm, they wanted to come to the America?
They weren't sure.
They weren't sure.
Where they would end up. They weren't sure, yeah.
And do you remember what life was like in those camps?
Yeah. Well, I was a child, so I was always having fun, you know. They established a school for the kids there. We had classes. We had Hebrew classes, math classes, science classes, and I remember going to math and Hebrew because I think my parents felt that they were going to end up in Israel because a lot of people were leaving and going to Israel if they could get there. That's another story. So they thought, but they had found some relatives in Chicago. My mother had an aunt here, and they sponsored my mother, and at the last minute before my father decided we're going to Israel, we got papers to come to the United States.
So you were going to go to Israel, but then...
Yeah, so we decided to come here instead because my mother had an aunt living here, and she had cousins here.
So you had family here, but in Israel there wasn't family.
No, we didn't have any family in Israel, no. Okay. The only one who ended up there was my father's brother. He ended up in Israel because he couldn't get papers to come to the U.S.
And did your family ever reunite with him?
Yes, actually, in 1967, my parents went there. They always kept in touch with him by mail, and they went to see him in 1967. And that was the last time they saw him. Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we get to the next section of this interview, I have one more question about the DP camps. How did life there differ from life in the labor camp in Siberia?
Well, I was too young to remember the labor camps, and life wasn't easy. I think we lived in an army barracks, and each family, no matter how large, had their own little room. And I had friends, and, you know, it's just like here. You go, you know, you roam around with your friends, and you go to different classes, and we had classes, and it was fun.
It was fun?
Yeah, it was fun. And the food wasn't bad. But I do remember when my mother's aunt sent them a care package of food, and they have never experienced canned foods and or even packaged foods, because everything in Europe was fresh and you bought it for the day, and that's how you went to market every day, and they didn't like it. they did not like it at all. It was food, but they didn't like it.
Okay, so how long did your family spend in the DP camp before?
We stayed in Germany for from 1945 to 1949, and we came to this country in 49.
Okay, and how did you get to the United States?
We went to Bremerhaven, I think, which is a port city in Germany, and we legally came to the United States on a transport ship, on a U.S. transport ship.
And do you remember anything from that journey?
I remember that I loved being on the ship. My parents didn't. They were very sick, and they were very seasick. But I remember running around, and I just loved being on that ship. And I remember when we saw the Statue of Liberty, and how everybody went on deck, and tears were just coming down. They were shedding tears. Yes, I remember that.
What was that experience like? What did people feel?
Oh, they were so grateful that they were coming to the U.S., that they could start all over again.
And start a new life.
And have a future, and have a future for their children.
Do you remember what the first few months of life in the United States was like?
We lived with my aunt, and I did not know English, and I didn't know English at all, and I started... I think they put me in kindergarten, and I was really upset about that because I wasn't a baby, I felt. And it didn't take me too long before I learned English. I think within a year I spoke fluent English.
Wow.
Because I wanted to assimilate it. I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want to be different. I wanted to be like any American kid.
So how old were you in the kindergarten?
I think I was 8 years old.
8 years old with like 5 and 6 years old?
Yeah. And I resented it. And I caught on very fast.
So you had that motivation to become an American citizen?
Yes. Well, not an American citizen, but to be assimilated, to be like everybody else, not to stand out, not to be different.
And how did you pursue that goal? What did you do?
I read a lot of comic books. I know it's not great literature, but I used to love to read a lot of comic books. I used to walk down the street reading a comic book.
So how did life differ in the United States than in your experiences in the DP camp and the labor camp in Siberia?
Well, as far as Siberia, I really don't have a lot of memories. Yeah. But, you know, life was different. My parents worked. Both of them had jobs, and they had to. They came with nothing, and they wanted to get their own apartment. And so they both worked, and they wanted a better life for me. And I was a latchkey child. My parents didn't get home till 6 o'clock. My mother gave me a key, and I came home, and I stayed home.
Did you mind not having your parents around in your first
Did I resent it? No, I don't think I resented it, because I understood that they had to work.
Okay. Yeah. And what kind of jobs did they have?
I think my dad's first job, because he didn't know English, was in a cleaning store. And my mother worked in a factory, and she never knew how to sew in her life, but she learned fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
She worked for a suit company that made suits, and she never sewed in her life, but she caught on to things very fast, and she worked there for a while until she learned English. That helped a lot.
How long did it take for her to learn English?
They went to night school for a couple of years, and I remember going with them.
Mm-hmm.
And within a few years, they learned English because they wanted to assimilate.
Was it difficult to, I know we already touched on this, but was it difficult to adjust to a new life here?
Yeah, I think it was. I think in the beginning, anything that's different, they weren't used to a lot of things, and I remember back in 1951 or something, they bought their first TV, and we sat in front of that TV watching TV programs, you know, a little black and white. It was amazing.
Okay, so were there any moments like when you first arrived to the United States, or like, I guess what I'm asking is, when did you start to feel like you had like adjusted and began to assimilate?
I think when I learned the language and when I had friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I had friends. I think that's very important in life, to have friends in your life. And I had some very good friends. And to this day, I still keep in touch, and I still see some of my friends.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you think because you had friends, did they help you
Yeah. Yeah.
Get used to it?
I had really nice friends, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then going back to, I know you said that Bobby wanted to become a doctor.
She wanted to become a research scientist, which she had to give up her dreams.
She had to give
that up. Yeah, she had to give that up because she would have had to start from the beginning and go to university here, because I don't think they would have accepted all her credits, mm-hmm. you know. All she had was a diploma. She didn't have the courses, and she couldn't send them transcripts or whatever. So she had to give that dream up for the sake of, of raising me mm-hmm. and making a living.
So mm-hmm. she never got to
No, she never continued with what she wanted to do, in her life.
Mm-hmm. Did that affect her life at all, or did she, was she satisfied with?
She was satisfied with life. She became a bookkeeper here, and she worked on the first computers when they first came out.
Wow.
Yeah. They were huge things, and they were in sealed rooms, and she learned how to work that computer. Yeah, and she was a bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about your father? Did he have any dreams that he had to put on hold for?
No, he became, he worked after he quit his job in a cleaning store. He worked for the Hammond Organ Company, and his job was, I think, doing the electrical work for the Hammond mm-hmm. Organ Company. So he was quite satisfied with his work.
Do you think that his work as an electrician in the Siberian labor camps helped him in the United States.
Yes, it did. But he also was an electrician in Europe, too. He worked, yeah. So he had a knowledge of electricity. And he liked fixing things and puttering around and all mm-hmm. that. Yeah. And he was great in math. He was very good in math and geography. He loved history. He read American history books all the time. Loved it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did the Holocaust affect Bubby's outlook on her life?
I think she wasn't always happy. I think she always thought about it. I think in back of her mind, she always thought about all that she lost,
mm-hmm.
you know, her friends, her family. So she never expressed it, but I think she was a little bit depressed. She was always depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And she had friends who died in concentration camps. She had lots of friends. But she had a circle of friends when she came to the United States. She did have a circle of friends who experienced some of the same things she did. So there was community there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think her faith helped her get through the religion, through the struggle, or did she?
She was not a religious person.
No,
not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Especially after the war, she always felt, how could God let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
So she was not brought up in a religious house, and she never really was a religious person, but she was a cultural person, a Jew, you know, a cultural Jew, which is different than being really religious. Yeah.
Do you want to expand on that? What do you mean by, like, what kind of cultural practices did she?
Well, she loved reading some of the authors and poetry and from. You know, Jewish writers, and she identified with them, with the culture and the music and all that, yeah.
So when your family arrived in the United States, were you able to practice, like, new religious practices that you hadn't, or religious or cultural practices that you hadn't been able to before in Europe?
We really didn't. My mother was really not religious, so she didn't observe any of the holidays, except she had Passover dinners, which was more of a cultural thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she cooked certain foods that she grew up with, but she also, you know, adapted quite well to the American way of life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then how do you think her outlook on life affected your outlook on life?
Her outlook on life?
Like, how did her, like, did her values or, like, worldviews, like, carry over to you? Like, do you have the same views as her? Or did you,
Well, I'm not as, you know, mm-hmm. I'm also not religious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I identify with the culture,
yeah.
but not the religion. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So my last question for you is, why do you think it is important that, we study the Holocaust?
Why should we study the Holocaust? Well, it's, first of all, it's part of world history, isn't it?
Yeah.
It showed how people suffered and died, and it also shows us that it's occurring even today,
mm-hmm.
In Africa,
mm-hmm.
in genocide, and things haven't really changed that much, have they?
So you don't think there's been, like, much progress?
There's been some progress, but there's still hatred in this world,
mm-hmm.
not accepting people for who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think we should do to change those views and hatred in the world?
I don't know if that's going to happen in this lifetime. I don't know. People are people, and sometimes people don't change, you know?
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you learned in the labor camps or DP camps or like your journey to America that helped you adjust to the new way of life? And
I think I was more, even though I was an only child, I think I was very independent, mm-hmm. you know, because yeah. I did a lot of things on my own because my parents worked all the time, and I wasn't afraid of anything.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice that you, like, had picked up from your experiences that you would like to, I guess, share or
continue? Share? Yeah. Any advice?
Yeah.
I just want people to be accepting of other people, mm-hmm. no matter who they are, no matter what religion or what gender. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Okay, that's all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much for...
And thank you. Thanks a lot, Sophie.
Yeah, of course.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was really fun. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, that was perfect.
Was that